Let us open the Word of God to Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 12. Romans 12. I'd like to read just the first eight verses. Romans 12, commencing at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The Lord will add his blessing to that reading of his word. In spiritual gifts, this morning we're looking at two pairs of serving gifts. If you look at the outline, it says it all, really. Lays it out for our understanding. I thought by the time I got this far along I would simply be listing off all the rest and mopping up, but it's not so. It's even getting more interesting. Along the way I've seen some interesting groupings. For instance, preaching and teaching. They come in a pair. As a matter of fact, probably today I'm doing more teaching than preaching, but it's presenting the Word of God in an ordered form. Then I found a trio: preaching, teaching and exhortation. The preacher thunders and preaches the word. The teacher lays out all the principles and the exhorter says, come, let's do it. That's a trio. And then we looked at faith, knowledge and wisdom. That's another trio. We noted that some of these were for then and some are for now. There are specific spectacular gifts that are not for this day and age, but were for the apostles and for the apostolic times. Well, there was a duet and two trios, so now we come today to a quartet. Two by two. Natural pairs of serving gifts. These are the serving gifts. Helps and mercy on one hand, and governments and ruling on the other. That's the way they're spoken in or given in the King James Bible. Now, I'm sharing some basic thoughts today that I learned from my good friend Dr. Earl Radmacher. I've lost contact with him, but he was the president of the Conservative Baptist Association Seminary in Portland, Oregon. And I was very sad when I travelled through that way, and I was in Salem and I was in Seattle, but I didn't get to Portland. But Dr. Radmacher, I was actually his driver for a week or so of meetings around here. I didn't invite him to preach here because he had hair. He was a university. He was running things in the university and he was conforming to the fashion, and we didn't have that fashion, so I was his driver. And I picked up all that he had to offer. So there are two basic kinds of gifts here today. There's ministering and administering. And by the way, I found out a little kind of an outline method. The spiritual gifts are in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. So there you are, 12:12 and 4:4. And by the way, the tabulation that I've issued on other occasions, I've revised it to allow two spiritual gifts in 1 Peter chapter 4. That'll come next time in due course. Now, with these two basic kinds of ministering and administering, you have one of each, task-orientated or person-orientated, and you'll see that it all comes through there on the outline. We'll take up, first of all, number one, ministering, which we really ought to call serving gifts. Serving. And of those, there are the two. We'll have the first one, the ministry of helps, or the gift of helps. It would be good to just have a look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Did you see it as it slipped through? There it is, the spiritual gift of helps. And then in Romans chapter 12, part of our reading today, Romans chapter 12, verse 7. Well, just noting here that this one, or ministry, which is serving. Serving is there. Let us wait on our serving. And then in 1 Peter 4:11, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, which of course is a spiritual gift, and so on, for great purpose. Now, a spiritual gift and a native ability work together. It's being available to do the thing which needs to be done according to your ability. That's your native ability. But God does not set aside your native or natural ability or natural talent. These are some of the words that we can use. He doesn't set aside your natural talent. He uses that in conjunction with your spiritual gift. So we need to distinguish between talents and spiritual gifts. Talents came with your first birth. Spiritual gifts come, or the potential is there, from your second birth, your new birth, your spiritual birth, and so on. Now, singing is a talent. We love to hear Joan Sutherland and those of that calibre. Of course, the voice goes with it. You couldn't do that if you didn't have that voice. I'm just thinking about Satchmo. You know that gravel voice, was Louis Armstrong. I don't know why anybody listened to him, because he didn't have a voice. But I suppose there were other factors, but you'd have to have the voice and, of course, the singing gift. Teaching is a talent. Now, these talents may well be combined, and usually are combined, with spiritual gifts. Teaching is a talent. I was very impressed with some teaching instructors that I was subject to in the army. They were called the Methods of Instruction Team. Unfortunately, I didn't see them teaching a lesson to others. They were teaching us, because we were supposed to teach. I was in an NCO course and so on, but it was magnificent. The way that they taught, they set the example, they had the audience, if you call it that, eating out of their hands. It was brilliant. But they're not born again. It was the talent, it was the gift from their first birth, if you like, their talent. So there are talents and there are spiritual gifts. We need to distinguish, although usually they're together in what we're able to minister with. May well be combined. Now, talking about singing, some gospel singers are evangelists with their singing. The gift of evangelism is used, therefore, in conjunction with their natural talent. A singer can obtain considerable response and action where a preacher can't penetrate. A singer can do it by the power of God. And I do remember way back when I was serving the Lord on the South Coast, this must be years back in Methodist days, I had quite a bit to do with what was known as the Australian Institute of Evangelism, which later became Ambassadors for Christ. But they owned a fair bit of property because there were some rich men supporting their ministry in the heights above Balgownie. They sold all that and they purchased Stanwell Tops, and the rest of it you know. But one time in one of their meetings in a town somewhere, may have been in Sydney, a man was saved out of the gutter. A very spectacular case of salvation. New man. And as he met with them, they could tell he had a wonderful voice. So they nurtured that, and they made him their featured gospel singer in many of their meetings. Sadly, I can't remember his name, but many testified that he sang them into the kingdom. Sadly, he lapsed and he went back to his old way of life, and we lost him. It wasn't long before God took him. He couldn't allow the scandal of that to continue, but there was a wonderful case of a person who sang people into salvation, a talent and a spiritual gift combined. A talent from the first birth and a spiritual gift from the second birth. Now, helps. What are the helps in the life of fellowship? What are the helps? Well, situations arise which can be distressing. The person with the gift of helps arrives perhaps on your doorstep at the right time when you're in crisis, and this person does the job. It may simply be the ability to see something that needs doing there on the property or in the house or whatever, and does it. Maybe the ability to read a need. Someone's on the sick list, so helps. Arrives with some food or other needs to feed the family. We know there's a fair bit of that going on here. It's wonderful. Several have graciously ministered to my family. We're unable to repay, but the Lord will repay. Meanwhile, you've helped to keep us in the front line. It's a wonderful ministry. The ministry of helps. Don't stop. It's wonderful. More and more our ladies have been moving to points of need to lend a hand. Helps. We call him helps, or her, we call them helps. Is ready regularly to do the very thing that God has given him or her to do, according to their native ability combined with a spiritual gift, the gift of helps. It's a beautiful gift. We need many with the gift of helps. A lot of people have this gift. Now, we need a lot of teachers. We need a lot of preachers. But I tell you what, a few go a long way. We need a lot more helps. If we only had as many helps as we've got preachers, it'd be sad. We need many with the gift of helps. Many of us lovingly remember Brother Jack William. There only had to be a hit of a need and it was done. He was right there. Now, the rest of us wouldn't always know. In fact, mostly we didn't know what he did, what he had done. Came out later. And then there was Ernie Burton. And the property was constantly under improvement. He was on the job all the time. He even worked on my yard. God bless him. Yes. And that reminds me, someone's regularly mowing my lawn. God bless you. Now, last Thursday, two of my strapping grandsons gave the place a manicure, but That's a sort of a one-off for a while. But someone with the Ministry of Helps is keeping it going. Thank you. So that was the gift of helps, task orientated. You saw their readiness of hand. Readiness of hand. And then there's the ministering gift or the serving gift of mercy. The difference here is that it's person orientated and it's readiness of heart. Now, once again, there may be an overlap. That'll come out as we go. See what the gift of showing mercy is, and then we'll contrast helps and mercy or overlap them. This one seems to enter a more sympathetic personal involvement. The gift of mercy, of showing mercy. You see an individual in need of mercy, and this person will be drawn to that person in order to relieve the need. It may be the person's in pain or suffering sickness or overwhelmed by circumstance. The classic illustration would be a missionary nurse or a missionary doctor. I've seen colour slides of the ghastly ailments that those dear people have to treat. It requires more than natural human compassion and perseverance. It needs the spiritual gift of mercy, of showing mercy. We used to have some connection, perhaps a supporting connection, with Ruth Myers. Years and years ago, she was a missionary nurse serving the Lord in East Africa. And I was talking to her just 3 days before she went back to her mission field. We've lost contact since then. We've rearranged our missionary support base. And not only that, a lot of the works that were done in Africa were disintegrated with political changes. But anyway, I was talking to this dear nurse. Nursing sister. She was going back to an unbelievable level of responsibility. She was going back to incredible medical problems, indescribable suffering to be relieved. Many of us would be repulsed by what she was facing. Some cannot bear to look at the pictures. I couldn't take it for very long. But the person with the gift of showing mercy wants to move in and help the sufferer and to relieve the great need. That's the gift, the spiritual gift of showing mercy for Christ's sake. God gives a heart and a real ability to perform deeds of mercy to those in need of such. Helps and mercy, ministering gifts. Considerable overlap, but different in emphasis. Helps is task-orientated. Helps may offer a word of cheer along with the deeds, but this person is concerned with getting the job done. The gift consists of seeing the need and then getting on with the job. Mercy is is person-orientated. Ministers more directly to the inner life of the person who has a need, while also seeking to overcome the circumstance problem. In many cases, helps and mercy are both required. They may be together in the one person. What a blessing. Wonderful. One person ministering, or perhaps two people with the appropriate gifts working together. Another blessing. Beautiful, isn't it? When there's a bereaved family, helps comes with some food and then busies around to get ready for the flood of visitors that will probably come and the sympathisers who will probably come. Mercy moves in to support the person, to lift the person's spirit, to help notify relatives, to sort out papers and to help the person to get thinking onto the need. Helps and mercy may be in one person serving, or there may be two people, one of each with an overlap. Helps has a ready hand. Mercy has a ready heart. One Sunday morning here, we had a big stir when Mrs. Bristow fainted or collapsed there in the back three rows somewhere. Helps came to the fore in the form of a person to hold her up so that she didn't fall to the floor. And then a couple of men turned the pew into a stretcher and carried her to a more suitable place. Hey, these pews make good stretchers. Well, that was helps. Now Mercy moved in the form of a trained nurse, ministered to the more personal needs in the medical problem. And Mrs. Bristow, although she had a close call that time, we had her back for 18 months until she went home to be with the Lord. These are beautiful gifts. They're fragrant when exercised within the body. A sweet testimony when exercised in the world. But last night, as I was reading over all the scriptures again, I picked up an interesting emphasis. These gifts are more than anything for the purpose of ministering to each other within the body. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. The body is in the picture so much as we read all about these spiritual gifts. And so helps and mercy are to be mainly in the body because we need each other. Come now to number two, administering. This is a different kind of serving. Gifts, perhaps even more exclusive to the body. The gift of governments, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. God has set some in the church, first apostles and so on. Towards the end of the chapter, the verse, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues and so on. Well, we've talked about tongues and so on, but administering, governments, management is a good word for our own understanding, management. This is task orientated, and this man is an organizer, or this woman, these are organizers. The root meaning of this is to steer or to direct. It's in the sense of a director appointed by a board. He is their CEO, the chief executive officer, if you like. He implements what the board decides. He cares for the day-to-day processing of detail. Now, the person with this as a spiritual gift, gift of governments, has the capability of managing the work of God so that efficiency is the result. When I was back in engineering management, we had what was called a flow chart. All the things had to fit together along a time frame. There was the tradesmen, the government approvals and all that all had to come together on this flow chart. And that was the detail. And so within the church, within ministries, such a person as the one with the gift of governments has got the capability of managing the work of God in this way. This means, this seems to fit the office of the church secretary. There you are. The gift of governments or management takes the multitudinous items, able to organise and systematise the executive tasks so that efficiency is the result and the Lord's time is preserved and even redeemed. So that was governments or management. Now B, ruling. For this one we go to Romans 12:8, which was part of our reading. Romans 12:8. For he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, and so on, he that ruleth with diligence. Now perhaps that doesn't sound too good in the life of the church, but it means leadership, leading. It's person orientated, and this person is the mobiliser. The other one's the organiser, this person's the mobiliser. The root meaning is he that takes the lead. The world sometimes says about someone, he's a born leader. Well, what we have is a born again leader. How's that? The same person may not be able to organise quite as well as the other, the day-to-day processes. He may be oblivious to the detail, but he takes the lead and he can stimulate people to follow him. There you are. Leads people. It's person orientated. The gift of so-called ruling, or what we would call leadership, is the ability to mobilise the people of God for the efficient and smooth action. You know what I'm thinking about? Working bees. And of course our Mr. Working Bee's not here today. I know where he is. He's all right. He's occupied. But with Brother Don Lees, you know, he just naturally attracts this role. He tries to get others to do it, but it comes back on him. You know, he's a natural. We say that, but it's a spiritual gift of mobilising. Now we've got a functions manager. He's getting on with the job, and he combines these two gifts. That's good. It's all there. Spiritual gifts. Another example would be the founding or planting of a new church, a new independent church. Requires this gift. Someone who can give a strong lead. And someone who inspires confidence and willingness and leads to efficient and smooth action. It would require at least a little of government, because you've got to know what he's doing. But that's what it is. Spiritual gift of ruling, leading. So now the contrast. Governments and ruling. Of course there's an overlap, as I've shared with other spiritual gifts. Perhaps we prefer to call them management and leadership. Fits our mind somewhat better. Management is task orientated. This man is an organizer. Leadership is person orientated. This man's a mobilizer or woman. The first one gets the work out, sets the work out, and the second one gets the people going. There are ways of, we don't all have the same gifts, abilities and spiritual gifts and so on, but I knew a pastor. He was a good leader. He was a warm man. He was much loved, but he was hopeless at organising. Couldn't even organise his own time or his own study with the details of church life. At odd times, he and I worked together. I helped him as much as I could. I would convey to him the details of a meeting and then speak to some of his people, and they packed around him and they got him there, got him over the line. It was teamwork. It worked well, but there are slightly better ways. But other pastors are good organisers and a church becomes efficient. But there's even a danger there, because it may be lacking in true spiritual effectiveness because the mechanics of it is so good. We have to be careful on every front. We need to make sure that the central thrust of leadership and motivation is there. There was a case that I told you a few weeks ago of a certain church planting pastor, and a family came here, which is a bit embarrassing, but they found it a bit hard to manage or to dwell there, because the pastor did everything. I think I told you this one. He did everything. And even when they tried to do something, he'd do it before them. And even when the jobs were redistributed and agreed upon, and they'd go to do it, he beat them to it. That's not right. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. A good comparison comes through in my church history class. George Whitfield, great preacher. John Wesley, great preacher. Both of them were blessed with revival. George Whitfield, if anything, was a greater preacher than Wesley. He used to preach. There'd be wonderful responses. And he'd walk away. He'd go to the next place and do the same. He'd leave them leaderless. John Wesley was the opposite. He would preach and he would set up a wonderful, beautiful network of Bible clubs, if you like. Groups of people, up to 10, 12, with a leader. He set up this wonderful structure all over England. This, of course, formed into churches, Methodist churches. Wonderful movement as it was. See, they were both good preachers, but one of them had the spiritual gift of mobilising. Mobilising, that's a good word, isn't it? Well, it is for us to wait on the Lord, living the Spirit-filled life. Trusting the Holy Spirit to bestow his spiritual gifts on us. Well, I'm sure he has. We just need to recognise them and use them. Usually it's doing something you like. To serve the Lord with our spiritual gifts would normally involve us in doing things we're accustomed to doing, or things that we like to do, or that we're drawn to. There is a danger there, because we may be drawn to the easy jobs and maybe some greater responsibility that we shirk. Be careful, we need to have God's will. Yes, we just need to seek the will of God at all times and ask Him to make us wise for the implementation of our own spiritual gifts. Amen.